Is this land in my life? Can I just say this morning, yes, it does. It's for you. It's for me. It's the truth. It's the word of God. He wants to transform our minds, and I believe he's going to transform our minds if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit living in us. So please count yourselves in. Last week, if you were here, this is what we were up to. We were thinking last week about taking captive every thought. And these are the illustration team who were helping to illustrate this sense that what can happen is that we can have thoughts that become, that build a progression, that become arguments, and then arguments, if we allow them to gather friends, extra thoughts that become strongholds. And before you know it, we've got something in our minds which is very difficult to get round or to get over. It actually becomes a blockage for us. And you may have had this before. You may have had this experience where it feels like you can't think the things you want to because you're stuck with thoughts that just won't allow you to think the good things or the important things, or the truth of God, because we're stuck. And the Bible calls this a stronghold. And we said, well, what we need to do is to A, do something about the strongholds, but B, take captive every thought so it doesn't have the opportunity to become an argument and then become a stronghold. And we said, well, let's get better at taking captive every thought right at the outset. I guess it would be called nipping it in the bud. I think that would be what it would be called. And we said that actually we can stop some of the negative things happening and building strongholds in our life. But if you look at it the other way around as well, then if we actually take captive every thought, there can be a really positive implication to this as well. There's this quote from, I think it's, I don't know who it is, I think it's unknown, but this idea that if you sow a thought, then you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character that's good. You sow a character, and then you reap a destiny. So the other way around, if you look at it the other way around, that actually there's a very positive implication that as we take captive our thoughts, that actually we can lead into a very positive future that God has destined for us. Destiny sounds like a grand word, doesn't it? But you know that God has a destiny and a future and a purpose for our lives. And it sounds grand because it is. So we take captive every thought and we see the negative things pulled back and the positive things released into our lives. And this morning, I want to talk about another important aspect of this transformed resetting our minds. I want to think about getting set. Are you ready to get set this morning? Are you ready to get set? You are. Good. I think this is a foundational element, and it's a foundational element, and foundations are important. Jesus talked about foundations, didn't he? He had this story to illustrate to people the difference between a man who built his house on the sand and a man who built his house upon the rock. And if you know the story, you know the illustration that took place, and Jesus is basically saying, don't build your house on sand, build it on rock. And if this morning, if there was an examination, if there was a paper that I gave you, each one of you this morning, and this was part of the examining board, which is the better foundation to build on? I'm pretty sure that most of us, the answer's already come up, would get the answer right between A, sand, and B, rock. Is there anyone who would have put sand? You wouldn't have got marks on this question if you'd have put sand. I think most of us would have pretty quickly got to that conclusion, even though we're not experts on buildings and foundations. There are people in the room who work for companies who are experts on foundations and building. And you can talk to them later if you really want to go deeper. Do you get it? If you want to go deeper on foundations and you want to think about construction and piling, I think it's called, then you can talk to them and they will explain to you the depths of the science behind all of that. But I don't think you need to have a degree. You don't need to be an engineer. You don't need to know that the answer to this question, if you're going to build on foundations, it's better to build on rock than sand. Everybody agreeing? Yep. Yes. The problem is that often we know that in reality, we get this examination question right. Did you notice this is the foundation level paper as well? We might get this right on the examination, but somehow, though, when it comes to our lives, we settle for not building good foundations. So what happens is we settle for things which actually aren't good foundations in our lives. So if I said to you rock or sand, you say rock, and yet somehow we settle for things which aren't good foundations, so that when, in Jesus' example, when the storm comes, of course the house which is built on rock stays standing and it's healthy and it's good, whereas the other house falls down. And what we do in our lives sometimes, if we're not careful, is we build we settle for building things on sandy ground. And I think it's so true in this whole area of transforming our minds, because we've settled for dodgy foundations and principles which aren't good, which aren't healthy, when actually there's opportunities for us to build some really healthy foundations. And so this morning, when we think of getting set, we're going to go to a Bible passage which I love in Colossians 3. If you've got Bibles, you want to turn to it, you can. Otherwise, it's already there on the screen. And we're going to think of what we can do with our minds to get set. So Colossians 3 says this: since you've been raised to new life with Christ, or in other words, you've been transformed, that's what it means, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. I love this part of the Bible. Paul's addressing the church in Colossians, and he's speaking to them about giving great foundations of how to live life, particularly in this whole area of thoughts and thinking. What does he say? Set your sights on the realities of heaven. I don't know about you, but often I set my sights on the things of earth. I'm looking at the things that are right in front of me. And this morning, you might turn to the person next to you and say, set your sights, chin up. Let's set our sights on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So many times our natural instinct is to look at the things that are right in front of us, our circumstances, the bills we've got to pay, the struggles we've got to face, the issues of health maybe in our lives. And of course, we're not denying any of those things. They're real. They're part of lives. I suggest that if you have bills to pay, that you find a way of paying them. But if we have a different perspective and we set our sights, we might see things a little bit differently. Did you know that you could set your mind? Were you aware of the fact that you can actually do something to set your mind? The power, we talked about it last week, but how powerful our choice is. Chris White, when she was here a few weeks ago, she said, we know how to set the oven for baking. We know how to set the sat-nav, well, some of us do, when we want to go somewhere. We know how to set a date. I find that incredibly difficult, but we know how to set a date if there's an important event. We know how to set the temperature in the room. And you might have noticed this morning, isn't the Ashwood Centre lovely and warm this morning? Well, we're still learning how to set the temperature, but you'll notice if you just glance around that there's what looks like large CCTV units. They're not CCTV. They're here because they've come to make you feel warm in the winter. How good is that? High five for warmth in the Ashwood Centre. And in the summer, they'll cool us down. I know. So this morning, as you gave into the offering for the work of God, we've invested in something pretty impressive here. And thanks to the team and the engineers and Mr. John Butler, who's been helping us out with that. But if you felt warm today, that's good news, isn't it? In fact, I'm a bit too warm. But listen, I'm not going to complain. Not going to complain. But we know how to set the temperature. We know how to set things in our lives. But often, we don't set our minds. We're busy setting all these other things, but we haven't grasped the principle that actually we can set our minds. And I don't know about you, but I think in this age in which we live, there's never been a time that it's been maybe more difficult to set our minds on the things that are important. If you have a smartphone, then even as I'm talking this morning, there's every possibility that you will have some notifications, that you'll have some emails, that someone will be sending you a picture or a photo. Things will be popping up on your smartphone. And if you haven't got a smartphone, yay! Because That sounds pretty good. And if you've seen the movie Up, anybody seen the movie Up, the Disney Pixar movie? You'll know that there's a great example in this movie. There's an old guy and a boy and a dog, and it goes like this.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Brad!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
I thought there was a bit more, but that was it. So, if you've seen that movie, you know that Doug the dog gets distracted. And there's a number of times where they're in a conversation and suddenly he's aware, or he thinks he spots a squirrel, and he does that. It's funny, isn't it? And actually, one of the definitions of the word distraction, which is obviously what is happening to Doug the dog, comes from a French word, you'll like this, and it relates to, well, actually, it's pretty unpleasant. It's a cruel form of torture that happened to the worst criminals. And what they used to do to the offender was they would take four horses and they would tie onto the horses four parts of the limbs of someone's body. And so there would be a rope on each arm and each leg. And then they would send the horses away and run in four different directions, which is what distraction, that's where the word comes from, distraction. And basically, the person was distracted, literally distracted, which is unpleasant, and we don't recommend that. No, we don't do that. If you're new to Ashwood, it's not one of the things that we do. But you can see the similarity, can't you, in what this where the word comes from, because literally it's being pulled in all kinds of different directions. I'll be honest with you this morning that this distraction is something that if you can suffer from distraction, I'm pretty sure it's something that sometimes I suffer from. The rota worked out brilliantly this morning because Claire, my wife, she's not in the room, so she can't talk about the problems that I have with distraction. And there's two main areas of distraction that I suffer with, and you can come and tell me at the end if this is something that you would like us to pray together over. But there's two things. One is just doing work around the house. So, or just jobs, things that happen. Because what happens, I don't know if you're the same as me, but I'll find something that needs putting in the right place because it's not in the right place. I think they call that tidying up, do they? Anyway, so I'll put it in the right place. And as I'm putting it in the right place, I'll open the drawer and I go, oh my word, this is such a mess. So I take everything out of the drawer, and all I really need to do is put one thing back in, but I'll take everything out of the drawer, and then I'll think, oh, now that shouldn't be there. That should be in that drawer. And I open that drawer and I go, oh my word, what a mess. And so I'll take everything out of that drawer, and I've embarked on this whole regime of getting things tidy and put in the right place. Does anybody else like things in the right place? Me. It's very important. And the other thing is just the whole area of work. Some of you will know it, but at the moment I do two jobs. So I work during the week for a flooring company in the finance department, and then I also work part-time for Ashwood Church. Hooray, love doing that. That's brilliant. And then a few other things. So there's often, this is probably the same in your world, but I'm quite busy. There's lots of things to remember. And sometimes, this is my computer screen sometimes. Looks like this. So I've got the things that I should be working on. I've got emails that are coming in. I've got three email addresses. And so what happens is, I'll tell you, if you want to email me the ones, I'll tell you the one that I answer if you want me to tell you that one. But I've got emails coming in that are asking me about finance questions. I've got emails that are coming in asking me church questions. There's things that I need to respond to, things I need to do. And then I've got the other email address, which is for everything else, Amazon and other things that people in my family order. And then, of course, in the background as well, I need to just check on the BBC Sport website just to check what's going on there. So I've got all kinds of things on my computer, and sometimes Claire will look at my screen and she'll go, how on earth can you work with that? And I say, it's sophisticated and it's complicated, but it's all in hand. And she doesn't believe me. And so that's my computer screen, and this is my phone screen, because I've got... I've on my phone screen, I've got messages that are coming in from WhatsApp. I've got audio messages that are coming in on Voxer. I've got 3 missed calls. Look, I've got 4 text messages. And look, there's Richard Bradbury at the top who's just sent me a message on Facebook Messenger. And this may not be your world, and if it isn't, then thank God. But for some of us who are still growing up, I've just put myself in that category, they're often, this is what it's like. There are things that are pinging in, there are things that are bonging, there are notifications, and it's very easy to have distractions. And what's the opposite of distraction? Well, is attention. And there are times when we need to fix our attention and set our thoughts. And what this Bible verse is talking, of course, these are trivial things, but of course, the Bible is that someone who's had a notification? The Bible tells us that what we need to do is set our minds, make a deliberate choice to set our minds. And in this Bible passage that we've just looked at, the definition of set, it's really helpful, I think. It's along these lines. It says it's to do with setting your affection, to direct one's mind to a thing, to seek, to strive for, to be of the same mind. There's different things that it means. Agree together, cherish the same views, be harmonious. So if you're setting your mind, then basically you're in agreement with yourself, which is a good place to be. How many times do you find yourself not agreeing with yourself? That's confusing. But actually, it can happen if we find ourselves with all kinds of distractions. So in other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying, when we set our minds on heavenly things, we're placing our thoughts in harmony and agreement with heaven. It's actually the same as when we pray, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." We're agreeing, we're aligning ourselves with the kingdom of heaven. We're setting our minds, we're making a choice that we're going to be in harmony, we're going to cherish the same views, we're going to seek, we're going to strive for the realities of heaven and not maybe our circumstances or the things that we find ourselves in. And what does that mean? It means if we set our minds on the realities of heaven, it means that we will hopefully start to think the way that heaven thinks. So for example, God's word says to us, it says, if we've been raised with Christ, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Now that's pretty good news. If we are in Christ, in other words, if we have made Jesus the Lord of our lives, if we've determined to acknowledge him as Savior and make him Lord of our lives, then it says that we are in Christ and therefore we're seated with him in heavenly realms. That means you have a whole different perspective. If you're looking from the perspective of a heavenly realm, that's very different to the earthly realities that sometimes that we are the things that we fix our lives on. And it means that because we are in Christ, which is a wonderful phrase that means so much in the New Testament, a wonderful phrase, it means that if we are in Christ, then we can live on earth with all the benefits of the heavenly realities. So what does it mean? It means that we benefit from his victory over everything that exists on earth. We can live in victory over every thought, over every circumstance, over every challenge, because Jesus defeated every power of darkness, every force of evil, every temptation, every fear, and now we're in him, we get the best benefits package ever going, because it's a higher reality. Listen to this Colossians 3 passage in the Message paraphrase. It says this, look up. I love that. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. And if that's the reality of heaven, then surely it shapes the way we think about things here on earth. The earthly reality is a higher reality. If you want to rank things, make sure you rank them the right way around. the realities of heaven far outweigh the realities of earth. Does it mean that we don't face stuff in our lives? Does it mean that there aren't challenges? No, of course it doesn't. But actually, if we can fix our eyes, set our minds on the reality of heaven, then it means that we get the opportunity to see a whole new perspective, a whole wonderful perspective. And those of us who've found our way into this way of thinking will know that it changes everything. Almost, you could say, transforms everything. Because we see things differently. We see things from an earthly perspective. And practically, what's a good way of setting your mind? What practically can we do? Because it sounds great. It's in the spirit. That's what we should be doing. We know that. But practically, what does it look like? When's the best time to set your mind? When's the best time to set your mind in the morning? Well, I suggest it's not long after your alarm clock's gone off. Because if you can set things in motion at the start of the day, it means that the rest of the day may be looking pretty good. And what's the practical, how do you do that practically? If you were here when Chris spoke, she said she told a little story of when her kids were growing up. And she said that there was a routine on the school run that the kids had to feed back to them each day. There was like this little mantra that they had to learn, that they had to repeat, which was basically truth. And it was this: today, well, it was American accent, of course. Today, that's Australian. It's all right, I can do it. Today is a good day. Matt, today is a good day. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I'm normally good on accents. Anyway, today is a good day. Today is a great day. Today, this is Chris's version, is a marvelous day. And if you remember, if you were here, we all had to repeat it. Today is a good day. Today is a great day. Today is a marvelous day. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, which is out of the Psalms. And got me thinking about when I was younger, and actually I had some help with this verse as well. I was reflecting as I was planning for this morning, because there was a song that we used to sing when I was 6 years old, roughly, maybe. When I was young, I couldn't play the piano then. But I think it went something like this. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. If you're young, don't worry. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. And then when we got young, when we got into it, we go, hey, that was cool. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Anyway, and we just split the room between the young and the old, and you know which category you're in now. But that was helpful for me as a kid. It was actually my favourite song for a period of time that I can't remember, and I liked it because obviously you've heard the tune. It was fantastic, wasn't it, in every single way. But also the words, it just declared something that was good. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the truth is that if that's the way we start our day, because it's another one of those principles, isn't it, that each day is made by the Lord. So therefore, it's a good day before it even starts, because he made it. And I think sometimes in the environment that we live, we can subconsciously be thinking all kinds of other stuff. You know, if we wouldn't necessarily sing that song, we'd be saying, this is the day where I might get a bad report from my boss. This is a day where someone's going to be unkind to me. This is a day where I'm going to hear some negative input into my life. This is a day where I'm going to watch the news and it might not be good. That's true, isn't it? There is that possibility. And all of those things may be true, but actually if we set our minds and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, could it transform our lives? Yeah. The right answer. Here's a great quote from John Geiger. A beautiful day begins with a beautiful mindset. When you wake up, take a second to think about what a privilege it is to simply be alive and healthy. The moment you start acting like life is a blessing, I assure you that it will start to feel like one. And honestly, that applies however you're feeling, whatever the circumstances of your day, whatever it's looking like, because there will be some days when you wake up and you don't feel great. There will be some days where it won't, the outlook may not be as promising as we'd like it to be in terms of earthly perspective. But the great news is, from a heavenly point of view, fix our eyes on the heavenly things. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have an outlook which is different to those around us who don't yet know that truth or reality. And we can live in the benefit of that. Today is a good day, whatever is going to happen in it. One more scripture, Romans 8. If you were here last week, we were talking about Romans 8, 28. And we said all things, this is a principle, a reality, a truth, all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord. And we switched it around and we said, let's make this personal. All things working together for my good because I love the Lord, if you like. And this Romans 8 passage is so wonderful, and I think it's so important for us as individuals, but it's important for us as church right now. I wonder if we could read these words together. It's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah. Just thought of it. Let's read these words together then. So those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are. Amazing words. Make a note of it. Read it this afternoon. Read it tomorrow. Read it this week. But don't you think it just speaks exactly into what I want to talk about, what I'm talking about this morning, setting your mind. Those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And what happens is once we become a follower of Jesus, once we become a Christian, something changes. We are what the Bible describes as we are born again. So there is something which happens in that moment that transforms our lives forever. But then we also, and this is one of those things about the Christian life, we are transformed, but we also then begin a process, a journey of being transformed. The Holy Spirit working in us to change the way that we think, to change the way that we operate. Now, of course, we'd expect those of us who are following Jesus over a period of time, we'd expect to see the impact of that. We'd expect to see, the Bible talks about the fruit of that outworking in our lives through our lives becoming changed more like Jesus. But here are some really helpful insights. Because we're no longer trapped or controlled by the sinful nature, and we can respond with the Holy Spirit living in us to set our minds on the things of God. And the thing that I love about this passage is the but. It says, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. One of my, I think, themes for the year is the fact that we take a hold of the fact that we are spirit people. That's who we are. That's what God has made us. So actually, we walk around. Of course, we are body, mind, and spirit. But don't leave out the spirit part, because that's who God's made us. We are spirit people. And I believe that God wants to transform our thinking so that we acknowledge and we recognize that we are, that's who we are. We are spirit people, filled with his spirit and living under the control and power of his spirit now. So, anybody else want to set your mind on the realities of heaven? I know I do. And as we just pause for a moment, I wonder if you could just allow your thoughts just to be fixed for not just a moment, but actually do some resetting this morning. Maybe actually what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to change our default settings so that it becomes much more natural for us to head to the realities of heaven. How many people would like your default settings changes so that you just automatically go to the realities of heaven? Now, there's a pull in our lives. Paul talks about it. There's the pull of our sinful nature, our flesh. But I believe that actually what God is wanting to do is he wants to change our default settings so that they are set on the realities of heaven. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Let's pray, shall we? Father,